to cause us to want to lie down or sit down. Thank you. But there is a Bible verse. Here it is in Mark 6 and verses 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not have a chance even to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." You wouldn't have to be told that, would you? Most of us would want to take the rest whenever we had an opportunity. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Jesus and his disciples needed rest. Even the Lord needed to take a rest. He was in a physical body. Physical bodies get tired. And though he were the Son of God, his physical body experienced weariness. He cried on one occasion. He felt pain. He was in a body like yours and mine. And so he needed rest. But not only rest after spiritual activity, these apostles and disciples, had taught and preached as they went on their mission that Jesus sent them on. But there is the experience of physical labor that we all must experience. Probably most all of you have a job. Some of you, your job is more strenuous and produces weariness, and you get tired. Even sitting at a computer all day can be very tiresome, and some of you know what that means and how that works. So that kind of work is wearisome. But do you know that resting can be experienced just being around Christian friends and loved ones? That's such a break from our secular activity, where we're always around people of the world and sometimes find it difficult to cope with some of their language and activities. But the refreshing rest that experienced by being apart from the world and with the fellowship of Christian loved ones. Here it is in Romans chapter 15. We read that. Paul said, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints." You see, he was being pursued and persecuted by people in Judea who were disobedient to God. And then he was also active in taking up a special offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. From church to church, he had them set aside money to help those poor people in Jerusalem who didn't have enough to eat at times. And so then the rest of that verse says, "So that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company." Yes, being with Christian loved ones who are kind and thoughtful and happy people, and who are positive and loving and wanting to help. Being around people like that is such a rest from the turmoil and humdrum and busy activities of a job in the secular realm. So Christians need both alone time and they need time of refreshing fellowship with other Christians. I'm up here because John and Julie needed some time off. And they're away from us for a Sunday. And how thankful I am that they have this opportunity. And if I can fill in to help them out a little, I'm glad to do it. And I trust that you pray for them, for their strength and for their courage and for their lives to be effective in the work of Christ that they're doing. And then when I think of having a secular job besides the work of the Lord that John is involved with, I know a little bit about what that's like. My ministry was 50 years, and 25 of those years I had to have a part-time second job to help feed my family of six kids and a wife. So I know what it's like to have to work two jobs, and you get tired. See, and I'm getting tired as far as I go. And if I live until April, I'll be 93. And so it gets a little more wearisome to be doing some of the things that I want to do in the Lord's work. So there is a burdened experience of wearisome in physical labor also. We're told in Jeremiah these words, "This is what the Lord says." So when it says that, you have to pay attention, don't you? "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it." And what happens if you do that? "And you will find rest for your souls." Serving the Lord is a happy weariness. It's a joy to be in the service of the King, as we sang about this morning. But wearisome tiredness set in, and as long as we're walking in the good way, we will expect that our inner person, our soul that's in our heart, our real person in us, will find rest. And that's what we want, isn't it? In the face of difficult and wearying times, Jesus can find rest for Jesus can provide rest for the souls of his people. And he said these words that are so well known and so beloved words. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn about me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus promised rest for your souls. I know some of you are having a difficult time. Maybe you have a hard time making ends meet, getting your job done right, finding a job, finding a place to live, just having trials and difficulties that you experience because you're in a physical body, and life sometimes can be hard. And the things that we need to do for ourselves and for others and for the Lord can produce a tired body. But here's the good news. Jesus said, "You seek me." If you're weary and you're heavy laden, you take my yoke on you and you learn about me. That's what we're doing here this morning, trying to learn about what Jesus said to do. And he said that you will find rest for your souls if you take his yoke upon you and learn of him. That was in Matthew 11:28-30. But all that being true, the need for rest from the Lord's work that you might be doing And by the way, if you're not getting tired in the Lord's work, maybe you need to be doing more for the Lord. You suppose? If so, then that tiredness, that weariness is a good kind. But ultimately, here is the final paycheck, the mustering out pay, the bonus at the end of your shift, and that is the eternal rest that is promised to the people of God. In Hebrews 4 and verses 1 through 6, we have these words. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, the final rest, the rest that comes at the end of the road, when our lives are now gone and we enter into the eternal state, needs to be a rest that follows a life of diligent service and faithful activity in the kingdom of God. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, there are many things that we could list that you could do, if nothing more than to just let people know that you love the Lord and that you're a faithful Christian and encourage them to come and learn about Jesus, because there they will find rest for their souls as well as yours. This passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, tells us about the situation where the Hebrew people in Old Testament time, after leaving Egypt, were headed for a rest. Egypt was tough. They had a lot of trouble with the Pharaoh. They were slave laborers. They were forced into doing things that made them so burdened and so overwhelmed that God said, you're going to have your own land, and I'm leading you with Moses at the head and Joshua later to the promised land where you'll find rest. But lo and behold, most of them fell short of it. And that's the lesson that the apostles taught from that passage in Hebrews 4, verse 1 through 6. Israel had received the good news from the Lord, telling them that they had a promised land that they would come to, and it was called Canaan. And they would come to that land, and it would be their land, and they would have crops of milk and honey, and they would have everything just wonderful to live under those conditions. But did they all get to have that? Not really, because it says in those verses that they failed to combine that hearing with their faith. They needed to combine having faith and then to act on that faith. And how many of them fell in the wayside? Just thousands of those Hebrews died in the wilderness on the way from Egypt to Canaan because of their lack of faith. It says in verse 2 of that Hebrews 4, for we also had the good news proclaimed to us. This is the apostles telling us that we as Christians have a promise of entering a rest. Not another land, but a spiritual rest, an eternal rest. And it says, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. Now, I know you've heard a lot of sermons and you've read a lot of Bible verses, but do you realize that it's possible for them to not do you any good unless you act wholeheartedly from your heart on what you've heard. That's the message that will be a blessing to you. And then it goes on to say, was no value to them. Why wasn't it? Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now he's referring probably to Joshua and Caleb. You remember there were 12 scouts that were sent into Canaan to find out whether the land was possible to overtake it, because there were a lot of giants that lived there and adverse people that could cause them trouble. And so out of those 12 scouts, called spies in some translations, out of those 12, only two of them came back and said, "We can take it. With God's help, let's go." But the other 10 said, "Oh no, they're too big, they're too formidable, they're too fortified, there's too much against us. We'll never get through to the land and take it because we can't do it." Now, in Psalm 95, there is a passage that describes that very situation, and it reads this way. "Today, if only you would hear his voice." Now, this is God speaking to those Israelites. It says, "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah." That was a location on the way from Egypt to Canaan, and the word Meribah means quarrelsome, because that's what the people were doing. They were finding fault. They were always quarreling and complaining and murmuring and grumbling because they didn't have what they wanted. You know, God gave them manna to eat every day. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to pick it. All they had to do was eat it. But they didn't like that. So then God said, "Okay, I'll give you meat." And so he gave them quail. And before long, they got tired of that. People don't always appreciate the blessings of God. And we need to take a lesson from that. Those people suffered because of failing to be appreciative of the good things that God provided. And we need to not be that way. They hardened their hearts at Meribah. And then he says, "As you did that day at Massa." That word means to test, because they tested God's patience. Here God was providing them with everything and making the trip relatively comfortable and assured them of success, but they failed to submit out of their heart in obedience to God along the way. And when you read the numbers in those books, you'll find a number of things that they did that were showing their disapproval of God. So they tested God. It says, "As you did it at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did." God's doing good things for us all the time. But some people overlook those and test God by complaining or murmuring about the way he's treating them. So we need to be careful about that. "For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways." Remember, back there in Psalm, it described them as people who should look for the way and walk in it. Well, here's where it says that those people didn't walk in the way of God. "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." And they didn't. They had nothing but trouble. For centuries, they had problems. After they got into the promised land, there were seven tribes. I call them the Ites. They were the Moabites and the Ammonites and all kinds of ites. And then there were a bunch of Ims too. The Nephilim and the Rephaim and all these Ims. The Ims and the ites gave them fits. And that was because they weren't faithful in their service for the Lord the way they should be. In verse 6, it speaks about God's creative power. For 6 days, he spent creating things. And then on the seventh day, what did God do? It says God rested on the seventh day. And it says in the rest of that verse, verses 4 and 5, but now it remains for some to enter it, meaning enter that rest. Christians have the hope of entering into a rest, just like Israel did in Old Testament times. They fell short of it because they didn't have faith and obedience. The way it says that in there, in that sixth verse, it remains for some to enter it. And then it says that they failed because of a lack of faith, but also a lack of obedience. And in Hebrews 3, in verses 16 through 19, it mentions both of those qualities that those people failed in. Were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. I want you to notice that it says because they disobeyed, and then in the very same sentence, because of their unbelief. Can you see that unbelief and disobedience go hand in hand? You can't say, I believe in Jesus, and then disobey what his word teaches that you have as a responsibility. So faithful Christians can expect to enter that rest, that eternal rest. And we've preached on heaven here too before and tried to paint a picture of what all will be there that will be so wonderful. But here is a verse in Revelation 14 that seems to describe it in just one brief sentence. Here John, the writer of Revelation, says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Meaning in the Lord means as a faithful Christian. Yes, says the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is answering to that. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. God expects you to be performing deeds, not in order to get saved, but to demonstrate the fact that you are saved. And God will someday give you an eternal rest, and that rest will have your deeds follow after you at that time. So Christians are expected to be busy in the service of the Lord. If you haven't been working hard, you don't need rest. If you've been a faithful servant, doing the will of God, taking care of your family, your job, your home, your life, and you get tired from that, if you've been fulfilling your responsibility, then you're going to be tired and you need a rest. And God says it's okay to take rest for a little while in this life and then look forward to the wonderful rest in the eternal life to come. Christians need rest from physical labor and from spiritual labor. Both of them take energy and take thought and take effort on our part. And rest for Christians can be both a secluded time alone and as well as in the company of faithful Christian, loving Christians. You can have rest in both cases. And the eternal state in heaven will be a time of wonderful rest for the faithful Christian. And I hope you're looking forward to that rest. You need to realize that it will take a life of surrender to God first, and then faithful service as best you can. You say, I can't do much. Well, God knows how much you can do, and you just put your whole life into the service of the Lord, and you will find that He blesses you. Christians, however, must continue in the battle and then take the final rest. Let me read to you an account of technician fifth grade John J. Pender of the 16th Infantry Division, who was awarded posthumously. That means he was dead when they gave him the medal. It was the Congressional Medal of Honor, and it was for conspicuous gallantry above and beyond the call of duty, which he did on June 6th, 1944. That's ancient history to many of you, but to others, you will recall it being the day that the Allies landed in France and the beginning of the end for the Nazi tyranny. And that was in Covid-sur-Mur, France, which was the same as Omaha Beach, which is a little more familiar to us. Corporal Pender landed on this Normandy coast 100 yards off of shore under devastating enemy machine gun and artillery fire, which caused severe casualties among the entire boatload of troops coming in. Carrying a vitally important radio, he struggled toward shore in waist-deep water, within only a few yards away from his landing craft. He was hit by enemy fire and was gravely wounded. Pender never stopped. He made shore and delivered the radio, refusing to take the cover afforded or to accept medical attention for his wounds. Corporal Pender, though severely weakened by loss of blood and in agonizing pain, on three occasions waded into the bullet-ridden surf to salvage communication equipment. He recovered many vital parts and equipment, including another workable radio. On his second trip, he was again hit, suffering machine gun bullet wound in the legs. Still, this valiant soldier would not stop for rest or medical attention. Remaining exposed to heavy enemy fire, growing steadily weaker, he aided in setting up the vital radio communications on the beach. While so engaged, this dauntless soldier was hit for the third and final time and died in the water. The indomitable courage and personal bravery of Corporal Pender was a magnificent inspiration to the men with whom he served. He had to stay in there and go forward and work at getting his job done if the world was to ever become free from tyranny that was covering so much of Europe and threatening the nation of England and America. So, the point of that story, You have to work hard and sometimes do a little bit of suffering. You say, I don't like suffering. I don't think Jesus liked it really very well. But he put up with it. And he did it because it accomplished something of value for all the world since that time, including us here this morning. So let us look forward to entering into that rest, realizing the day will come with which we will be honored, not with the Congressional Medal of Honor, but with the crown of life, which never fades away. That's coming for each one of us. I trust that we'll all work and serve and love and sacrifice whatever it takes to be faithful Christians throughout our lives. And I'm going to pray that that happens to us all right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who made the way possible to receive that eternal rest. Thank you, Father, that we can anticipate that with great joy and that we trust that it will come upon us all. Father, we know that we must surrender by faith to Jesus and that we need to be faithful workers for him, trusting in his blood as the sole means of our ever reaching that eternal rest. Thank you for each one here. I trust and pray, God, that you will lay it on the hearts of any who are unsaved to turn their lives over to you and to become faithful Christians and to look forward to that wonderful rest that awaits us all. We praise you and thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.